Okay, we're going to read together from the Bible, and we're in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32. Hebrews 10, 32, I'm going to read to the end of the chapter. Hebrews 10, 32, remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. If you remember back to last week, we had a very sobering, big reality that we thought about. It was the fact that you will die. That unavoidable date with death that we all have. Life is short. It's amazing how time flies. The older you get, the faster it goes. We all know this. But it's so true. I think being busy as well makes things just seem to go faster. Someone once wrote this: imagine there is a bank account that credits your account each morning with £86,400. It carries over no balance from day to day. Every evening, the bank deletes whatever part of the balance you failed to use during the day. What would you do? You'd draw out every pound, of course. Well, each of us has such a bank. Its name is time. Every morning, it credits you with 86,400 seconds. Every night, it writes off as lost whatever of this you have failed to invest to a good purpose. It carries over no balance. It allows no overdraft. Each day it opens up a new account for you. Each night it burns the remains of the day. If you fail to use the day's deposits, the loss is yours. There is no drawing against tomorrow. You must live in the present on today's deposits. Invest it so as to get from it the utmost in health, happiness, and success. The clock is running. Make the most of the day. Now, whilst I disagree with the application, the truth there about thinking wisely about our time and how we spend our days is really important. I disagree with the application because ultimately a life that is spent on health, on happiness and success is a misspent, futile, wasted life if we have not taken into account the Lord Jesus Christ. But like I said, having said that, the truth behind it's really, really key. There is an importance and an urgency of considering how we spend our days. That was the big reality of last time. You will die. And we're to live in the light of that. We're to plan our diaries and our priorities are to be set by that. But we have to be so careful because some of us might be sat there quite smugly thinking we are making good use of our time. We might think, you know, we're doing great, but we need to be really careful because it's so easy to be the master of self-deception. It's so easy to justify ourselves. We can always compare ourselves to someone that we're doing more than. And we can always, of course, find someone's doing more than us, but we can just view them like a freak or a one-off or whatever. But we need to be really careful. Because the yardstick, if we want to measure ourselves against someone, is not the person sat behind us or in front of us or to the side of us. The yardstick's the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't he? It's him we need to compare ourselves to. Jesus doesn't want partial followers. Jesus doesn't want Sunday-only followers. Jesus doesn't want people who follow him when it fits in line with their agenda. In fact, Jesus said it's the exact opposite people he wants to be his followers. People who daily die to themselves. Now, it's a big mistake to think becoming a Christian is something that happens at one point in the past and then we just go on. Being a Christian is a daily decision to die to ourselves and live for God as he graciously works in our heart and changes our desires. He wants those who will be wholeheartedly obeying him. In this room tonight, we have people at all ends of the scale. We have people who are at the beginning of their lives and we have people approaching the latter stages of their lives. And there is an encouragement, because it's so easy when you're young to think, well, I'll live for Jesus when I'm old. Or when you're old, it's easy to think, well, I did my bit when I was young. But the warnings in Scriptures, or the encouragement in Scriptures, is to just keep living each day for Jesus. Just think about what we saw last week in Ecclesiastes. We were told to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. So for young people, the Bible message is, live for Jesus now. Get your priorities right now. Sort your diaries out by His priorities now, if you have a diary. If not, get one. But to older people, in my quiet time this week, I just read about Solomon. And this was what was written of Solomon. As Solomon grew old, his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. Now, I've missed out the middle part of that verse. It told us why he was distracted. He had multiple wives, and they drew his heart away from the Lord. They worshipped foreign gods. What a warning. A man who wrote part of the Bible. A man who will be remembered as one of the wisest kings, one of the wealthiest kings. The man who built the temple. Yet towards the end of his life, he drifted away. He didn't finish well. I'm sure Solomon didn't plan to drift away from God. It happened over time. And so the warning is, young people, live for God. Old people, guard your hearts. Keep living for God. We can be so easily deceived. We need to make sure that we're living for Jesus. Like I said, be careful of self-deception. It'd be a really helpful thing to sit down one day and pray to God and just review how you're spending your time. Even though you might think you're doing fine, just think, if Jesus was in my shoes, if Jesus had my responsibilities, how would he spend this week? What would he be doing? The old wristbands that are still probably available, WWJD, maybe a bit cliched, maybe a bit cheesy, but in many ways very helpful. What would Jesus do? Today, what would he do if he was in my shoes? How would he approach this day? Anyway, that was last time. Very sobering, you will die. This week, it's much more positive. So last week, big reality, you will die. This week, more positive, and it seems like a contradiction, you will live. But it carries on. You will live forever in the new heavens and new earth. So last time, you will die. This time, you will live forever in the new heavens and the new earth. Three very straightforward points this evening. We are to prepare, we are to look, and we are to learn. So first point, we are to prepare for that. Imagine you were going on a week's holiday, or imagine you're going on a month's holiday, or imagine you're moving abroad permanently. What do? You prepare for that, don't you? You get ready. You get your stuff together. And when we realize that we will die, the next thing is to think about, well, what happens next? And death is a doorway. It's a doorway to the next permanent chapter of our lives. So how do we prepare for that? What are we to do? Well, we need to realize that as we go through that doorway, it is a doorway to two completely different realities. And this isn't a door that when you get there and when you've died, then you make the choice. This is a doorway and a decision that is made in the here and now. When we go through that doorway, when we pass through the waters of death, there is going to be two different realities that we will face. We will either face eternal death in the lake of fire, or we will face eternal life in the new heavens and the new earth. One is forever delighting in God's marvelous good presence. The other is away from God's goodness. Now, it's not away from God. Some people say that the lake of fire is away from God's presence. It's not away from God's presence. The psalmist said, even if I make my bed in the depths or in Sheol or in hell, God is there. See, it's worse than being away from the presence of God. It's eternity facing the wrath of God. That's one reality, facing the wrath of God eternally. The other reality is eternal delight, being with God, enjoying his goodness and his mercy forever and ever. So how do we prepare for that? Well, very simple. There are two things. First, we need to make sure that we are Christians. Just think on that thought. It's either eternal life or eternal death. The difference is whether or not I am a follower of Jesus. Jesus secured eternal life by dying on the cross. Now, we all know we carry a heavy burden around with us every day. It's our sin. And part of how we come to faith is God convicts us of our sin. He brings our sin to our knowledge and our attention. And that sin that we carry around with us means that we are consumed by God's wrath. It's our sin that needs dealing with. It's our sin that weighs us down. It's our sin that means we are bogged down, distracted, rebelling against God. And before a holy God, there is no place to hide. That sin can only be dealt with at the cross. When we repent, believe, our sin is taken from us. The old hymn writer puts it like this: At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my soul rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. This is how John Bunyan described the experience of becoming a Christian in his book, Pilgrim's Progress. He writes this: he ran until he came at a place somewhat ascending, and upon that place stood a cross, and a little below in the bottom, a grave. Just as Christian came up with the cross, his burden loosened from his shoulders and fell from his back and began to tumble, and so continued to do so till it came to the mouth of the grave, where it fell in and I saw it no more. Then was Christian glad and lightsome, and said with a merry heart, He has given me rest by his sorrow, and life by his death. Then he stood still a while to look and wonder, for it was very surprising to him that the sight of the cross should ease him of his burden. I found that really, really interesting, because it's amazing that a cross, which is a place of execution, it's a method of ending someone's life, it's incredible that a cross could ease our sorrows. Just think about that. This place of agony is a place of comfort for the Christian. It's a reason for boasting and rejoicing. Why? Because that's where our sorrow, our burden, is taken from our backs and placed on the Lord Jesus. That is our primary place for preparation for the next chapter after death. It's the only way to receive everlasting life. But then it's also important to realize as believers. And in fact, there's a great line in a great well-known film, which you film followers can try and figure out what film it is, as long as it doesn't distract you from listening. But there is this line in a film that says, what you do in life echoes into eternity. And that is so true. What we do in life echoes into eternity. So we prepare by coming to the foot of the cross. But then how we live as believers makes a difference. So the obvious place to go is Matthew, Jesus speaking. He says, store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. So it's possible to store up for yourself treasure in heaven. And Jesus is contrasting those who are storing for themselves treasure on earth. So if you make it your life's ambition to store up treasure on earth, it rusts, it gets taken away. But instead, if we store up for ourselves treasure in heaven, it doesn't rust and it doesn't get damaged. So what's the idea from this? Well, Jesus is saying the way you live now determines how rich you're going to be in heaven. So when we live for Jesus' values now, that makes a difference into eternity. Another place that shows that, we could look in Corinthians, we could look in Jesus' parable of the talents. Those who were faithful were given more talents when the master returned. So how we live now impacts eternity. So we're to prepare as Christians, prepare for living in the new heavens and the new earth. Secondly, we're also to look. So we are to look forward to the new heavens and the new earth. Last time we thought about the aging process in Ecclesiastes, and we learned about how our arms get weak, our teeth fall out, our eyes grow dull. I'm just trying to make sure I'm getting all these in the right place together. I don't want arms falling off and et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, we saw how we're living in a time of struggle. We live in a time when we know the gospel promises, but they've not been realized. But the thing to do is to think about what's coming. So we're to look forward to the new heavens and the new earth when all the aches and the pains are gone. In a world of frustration, the Bible encourages us to look forward to what is in store for us. I remember when I was younger, and I'm not quite sure what my thought process was, but I remember thinking, I'm not quite ready for Jesus to return yet. Has anyone ever thought that? I used to think there are so many things that I want to do yet. I was pretty stupid, I know. And I used to think, that thinking is, there are better things here in the here and now. There's better things to enjoy here than in the new heavens and the new earth. But let me try and illustrate the folly of that. Imagine there was a boy who absolutely loved eating ice cream. That was like the height of pleasure for him, eating ice cream. And then someone came along and told him about a roller coaster. And they said, let's go for the Oblivion at Alton Towers. This roller coaster, it's just so fast, it's so good fun, it's just amazing, it's just like an adrenaline ride like you've never experienced before. And his response is something like this: do you get to eat ice cream on the roller coaster? And he says that because all he's known is ice cream is just the best thing ever. And so in his mind, being on a roller coaster and not getting to eat ice cream is kind of something worse. Because all he knows is the good stuff of ice cream, and he doesn't really want to be sacrificing ice cream for this roller coaster. It would be quite fun watching someone eating ice cream on a roller coaster, wouldn't it? But he just didn't get it. He didn't realize there was something better. And when we think that we don't want Jesus to return just quite yet, we're like that boy with the ice cream. What we don't realize is the new heavens and the new earth are going to totally eclipse everything we have experienced or could experience on this earth. So my mind now has been changed. I cannot wait for the Lord Jesus to return. We should all be looking forward to that. Some verses from the Bible, so in the New Testament, 1 Peter 1:13, set your hope fully on the grace to be given when Jesus Christ is revealed. Set your hope on that. Just look forward to that. Don't you pin your hopes on stuff that's going to happen on this earth. Colossians 3:2-4. Set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you'll also appear with him in glory. It's like this sense that you've not experienced life until Jesus has returned. Jesus also tells a parable of a persistent widow. And the whole point of that parable is, are Jesus' followers praying? Are they praying, just trying to hasten the day when Jesus will return? Because as believers, that is what we are longing for, the return of Christ. I enjoy, or used to enjoy, reading in the past C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia. And one of the things I think C.S. Lewis does so well in those books is, yeah, he has these children that can't wait to be in this magical land of Narnia, but they are longing to see Aslan. And Aslan is the one that represents Jesus in the stories. And they just can't, even though they're in Narnia, they're just not quite content until they've got a glimpse of Aslan, until they're with Aslan. That's what makes all the difference. That's what it is for believers. Yeah, we want to be in the new heavens and the new earth, without the aches, without the pains, without the wrestling against sin. But it's longing for the Savior, the one who died for us, the one who dealt with that burden on our backs. It's him that we want to see because we love him and we want to finally be like him. So we are to prepare, we're also to look, and then finally, we're also to learn. We are to learn. We're to learn how to live in trials, looking forward to what's to come. So back to our verse in Hebrews. If you close your Bibles, please open them again to Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to read some of these verses, and hopefully this will just help us shed some light on what we're to learn, how we're to live until the new heavens and the new earth. So in verse 32, it says, remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property. Now, we'll pause there before we keep reading, because what's being described is some people have come to faith in Jesus. So you'll see in verse 32, they have received the light. So they have received salvation. They understand who Jesus, they've repented, the burden has fallen off their backs. And now they are living as believers, which means they're living totally differently. And as a result, they are facing great suffering and trial. So just notice in verse 33, sometimes people are just saying stuff about them publicly. They're just insulting them. Other times they've seen their friends being insulted publicly, yet they've stood with them, even though their friends are just the public is totally against them, but they've stood beside them and supported them in it. They've had others that have been taken into custody. They've been thrown into a jail cell. You see that in verse 34. Other people have had property taken from them. Why? Well, because they're believers. Like I've said, these people weren't super believers. They weren't like super apostles. These are just regular guys who love Jesus and were going to obey him no matter what it cost. Why were they willing to be publicly insulted? Why were they willing to have their houses taken from them? Why were they willing to be imprisoned and stand beside those who were publicly insulted? Well, as we keep reading, we find out the reason partway through verse 34. Because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. If we're not sure what's being talked about, all we need to do is keep reading. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. Jesus is coming. He is not going to delay. So why are these believers willing to suffer all those things? Why are they willing to be thrown in prison? Why are they being willing to have their houses taken off them that they've worked 35 years to pay the mortgage off of? Why are they willing to do that? Because their focus is not on possessions that can be taken away. Their focus is on their lasting possessions, this eternal heavenly city. And so we need to learn. We need to learn to have the same priorities as the believers that the writer to Hebrews was writing to. We need to be willing to hold loose to the things of this world and to stick to the things of God, even if it costs us friends, even if publicly we are disgraced, even if our possessions are taken away for being faithful to God. Now, there is a very, very real warning. I don't know if you noticed it at the end of verse 38. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. So why would you shrink back? Why would you shrink back when you're being threatened with prison? Why would you shrink back when the authorities say, if you're a Christian, you can't have a job, and you just think, well, I'll just not tick the Christian box. Why would you shrink back? You would shrink back because you value those things more than what's to come. You would shrink back because your priority is the here and now and not the new heavens and the new earth. But the writer of Hebrews says in verse 39, but we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Now, I hope that's true for all of us. I hope we're not those who shrink back. Because even though we don't have people taking our houses off us, even though we don't have people who are taking our things off us, actually we can see our value, how we value our possessions by what we do. We can see how we value our time by how we direct and what our priorities are. So actually we can see it in small, we have small indicators. Small indicators of how we would react if we were in this situation. And so I ask you the question, what are you? Are you someone that would shrink back? Or are you someone who is being saved? We need to conclude. We are going to live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. That's going to be in the new heavens and the new earth if you are in Christ. And so tonight, we need to prepare for that. If you are not a Christian, accept Christ. Don't go any longer in the direction of the lake of fire, which is also forever and ever and ever and ever. And ever ask God to forgive you, but then realize if you've done that, how we live now echoes into eternity. Also, look forward to it. Allow the new heavens and the new earth to be the fuel that powers your life. Realize that the strains of life that you are facing are temporary, but the new heavens and the new earth are permanent. There is a joy in the new heavens and the new earth that will never come to an end. Look forward to that. But also, we need to learn how to live in the reality of that now, not being those who shrink back, but those who believe and are in the faith.